Live at 5 Sports with Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort. A four-game sweep of the Suns, Jim. And even in the only real close game of the series, game four last night, it always felt like the Timberwolves were right there, just kind of waiting to finally strangle the Suns and put them out of the series. And then it happened at the end with Edwards really kind of taking over down the stretch.
Yeah, I thought it was a big game for Karl Anthony Towns. He kept them in the game when nobody else was shooting well. He basically made most of their offense in the first half. And then we saw what we see so often from this team. They get to the second half. They've hung around because of their defense. They start figuring out offensively. They start ripping into the other team. They basically win the game in the third quarter and hold the lead in the fourth. And a lot of that is coaching, intelligent players, depth, and then Anthony Edwards. And, you know, I just had a podcast with John Krasinski about this. Mm-hmm. You know, neither of us have wanted to get ahead of the comparisons, right? Yeah. As a young guy, until yesterday, he hadn't won a playoff series. We know how good he is. We also know that comparisons tend to end up failing us often. Try not to compare him to Michael Jordan. But, and he's not Michael Jordan yet. I mean, and sure, maybe he never will be. Most people aren't. But in terms of style of, in terms of ability and style of play, what we saw from Michael Jordan once he got past the, you know, rookie dunking, flashy stuff, mm-hmm, what we saw from Jordan when he settled into his career as a winner was he would facilitate for teammates in the first half. He'd get the temperature of the game. He'd figure out what the other team was doing. He'd figure out what it was going to be required of him to win the game, and then they get to the second half, and he just takes over. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that from Edwards. You know, he's had some slow starts. He's had starts where he just decided to be a facilitator and take advantage of the fact, you know, get the ball, move the ball, because he has three sets of eyes on him. But once you get to the third and fourth quarter, he's ready to take over. And he's 22 years old, and he scored 40 in an elimination game in the playoffs,
yeah,
with 31 of those points coming in the second half, and basically the dunk that, you know, ended the Suns' experiment.
Yes.
You know, this is remarkable stuff.
Yeah, that's the play I was going to go to first when you were talking about Edwards, was that just that quick move to his left, and he left Bradley Beal just grasping, and then sailed through the air, and Durant wanted no part of going up to try and block that. He goes up with a lot of force.
Yes, you know, at that point, they saw the Suns kind of cowering, and, mm-hmm, and let's face it, this is, you know, I think one of the mistakes people who didn't think to go, who didn't like the Gobert trade or who thought it was over after 1 year of the Gobert trade, I think one of the mistakes a lot of people made was they thought, okay, you're going big, you're forcing a two or three big man roster, those don't work, you need to win with wing. Well, they didn't go just big, they added bigs to Anthony Edwards.
Yes.
And then they added other wings who can defend and shoot the three to Edwards, you know, to help Edwards with, you know, Alexander Walker and McDaniels, and you know, they kind of really have the best of both worlds. They have the size to beat you up and beat you up on the boards and to defend you, and they have the great wing who can take over at any time.
No doubt. And the depth of the roster, that's the next thing. And you know, with Alexander Walker and everybody that they can bring in off the bench, and even, you know, Jaden McDaniels as kind of the fifth option offensively to begin with, and his development as a player, scoring wise and hitting threes, and in last night's game, you know, they go nine deep on this roster.
Yeah, and they played eight yesterday, but one of the reasons they didn't play Monty Morris and Jordan McLaughlin is because they have so many people who can handle the ball.
Yep.
And they decided to go big. So they have, you know, Nikhil Alexander Walker can play the point. Kyle Anderson can play the point. Ant can play the point. Of course, Conley is your pure point guard. And you got four guys in your top seven or eight who can play the point. You don't always even need your – and Morris and McLaughlin are both quality backup point guards, mm-hmm, and they weren't even needed yesterday.
Yeah. Unfortunately, our starting quality backup point guard had a friendly fire incident with Chris Finch along the sideline, yeah, there. And is it a torn patellar tendon indeed for him?
Yes, he's probably about a six-week recovery, surgery and a six-week recovery. So what they're going to have to decide here, and they have a little time, obviously, mm-hmm, what they have to decide is, does Finch sit on the sideline with Micah Norris standing in front of him? Do they put Finch in the second row so he can't get run over again? and cause more damage and just have, you know, Norrie standing in front of him so he can hear everything he wants. I think that's probably the way they're going to go here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, I mean, with that patellar tendon, he's going to have to be in a brace of some kind from hip to ankle. So, you know, he's not going to be able to be in that front row, that's for sure.
I don't think so. I think it'll be second row, and they'll prop him up either standing with crutches or sitting with his legs stretched out. They'll find a way to do that. And it'll change the feeling of the sideline. I don't think it'll dramatically change the way the Wolves play. Yeah. Norrie, you know, this is a very cohesive staff. Norrie's highly respected and well thought of by everybody over there. He can run a huddle. He can do all the things Finch can't do. Finch can call the shots that need to be called. But he and Norrie are on the same page anyway.
He's a European League head coach at some point, wasn't he, Mike and Norrie? So
yes, and he's a really savvy guy, and he's a fun guy too.
Yeah. So the Phoenix Suns, you know, they put this together, bring in Bradley Beal to play with Booker and KD, and they get just dominated in four games in the first round of the playoffs. That isn't going to work the way it's put together, but, boy, they have a lot of contract constraints. It doesn't look like KD is going to win another title in his career.
I don't think so, no. And he, you know, he certainly played well offensively in general in this series, but he just didn't seem very active otherwise. Booker, I know Minnesota fans hate Booker because he's so chippy and yappy, but the guy played.
Yeah.
I mean, and it wasn't his fault that they were letting him bully defenders and get run through defenders. He was doing his job. So I still think Booker's a guy to build around. There was a lot of back-channel rumors coming from people close to Durant saying he didn't really like the organization or the way they ran the offense. That's going to be fascinating to watch. Bradley Beal, but pouted most of the series. Yep. I think it felt like, okay, I'm like the sixth, seventh, eighth best player on this court, and I'll get a few points here and there, but I'm not going to be an impact player. Man, I mean, what's fascinating here is, you know, a year ago, a lot of people would have thought Durant, Booker, Beal, that's way better than Gobert, Towns, Edwards, and man, that was wrong.
But that's for sure. And then I saw a stat on ESPN this morning that said for a trio of players, Durant, Booker, and Beal, they're a combined in this playoff series minus 51, the worst of any three-player combination in the playoffs.
Amazing.
Subs, what have you. So you know, that doesn't necessarily just speak to them. It speaks to how well the Timberwolves played when Phoenix's best players were on the floor.
Defense, you know, and defensive scheme, defensive cohesiveness, defensive adjustments, intelligence. I mean, there's one series last night where the Suns desperately looking for a three-pointer. They're down late, and they threw like eight rapid-fire passes, and the Wolves rotated so perfectly that I think it was McDaniels was waiting for the cross-court pass to the other corner because they had everything else covered.
Red.
The other day I detailed their first seven defensive possessions in game two, where they just took this, just didn't let the Suns do anything.
Yep.
We talk about it all the time on this show. It's so hard to defend NBA players.
Yep.
Here they were up against star offensive players, and they just destroyed them.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that defensive possession you're talking about. And Phoenix, like you said, whipping the ball around, and the Wolves are right there at every stop. So they're coached up. They know where the ball is going. They had a great scouting report on the Suns.
Yes. And I know Elston Turner gets a lot of credit for kind of hitting the defensive side of the ball. Came out after the game that Corliss Williamson, one of their assistants, was kind of assigned to do prep work on the Suns. And he was the one who suggested the matchups they used, in particular Towns on Durant. And again, Durant's going to score.
Yeah,
he's going to score again, no matter in every situation, no matter who he's playing for or against. He's going to get some points. You don't want him to wreck your game plan or wreck your team or score and facilitate both. And, you know, they really made Beal a non-factor.
Yep.
You know, Nurkic, what I thought was interesting about Nurkic is because of the Wolves' defensive emphasis on the perimeter, Nurkic usually had pretty good first quarters. But then they would just wear down the Suns. I thought one of the most telling quotes last night was somebody asked Jaden McDaniels, hey, did you feel like in the second half today that you guys were just wearing them down? He said, I kind of thought that happened in the first game. It's like, I mean, the depth and the size just beat up the Thunder really from the beginning.
Yeah, took them down, that's for sure. Likely the Nuggets in the next round. You know, I would think they're going to beat the Lakers, I would guess, maybe tonight. And then, you know, I feel pretty good about that. After watching how they played against the Suns, I'm not ready to say that the Nuggets are just going to advance past the Timberwolves.
I think it's going to be a pretty close to toss-up series. You know, I think the general people across the country will favor the Nuggets for obvious reasons. The Nuggets have earned that respect.
Yep.
But I think it's going to be pretty close to a toss-up series unless, and this will be a fascinating thing for Minnesota sports fans who rightly feel like injuries always destroy their best teams. Jamal Murray's dealing with a calf strain. Mm. Calf strains are very touchy. He's questionable for tonight. Mm. If Jamal Murray can't play or play well, and the Lakers have a fighting chance in their series, and the Wolves should be favored if the Nuggets advance.
Yeah,
that's
boy.
A big if, but it's something to watch.
Murray is so clutch in the postseason for them. Jim, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Live at 5 Sports at Todd and Suhan, brought to you by Prairie's Edge Casino Resort.